Hi, this is Dale Tedder, and thanks for checking out this new audio project that I'm working on. I had several people from my church ask if I could please have an audio version of some of the things that I've written, such as my first book. And so I'm going to share the introduction today, and then hopefully in the next few weeks cover hopefully a chapter every few days to add to it and put it on my website. So thanks for checking this out. This is from my book, Foundations for Godly Manhood, and this is the introduction. A godly man is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. A godly man is like a fruitful tree because he is continually nourished by streams of fresh water. The water, Psalm 1, verse 2 says, is the law of God, which the man delights in and regularly meditates upon. Unlike the seed in Jesus' parable, which is sown on hard ground or among thorns, this man's faith does not dry up and wither away, nor is it choked out by the worries or distractions of this world. Instead, the godly man bears fruit, not for himself, but for others. To slightly change the imagery, Jesus taught in John 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches. As godly men, we must abide in him and he in us. Otherwise, we cannot bear any fruit of kingdom significance. Our life-giving, life-transforming sustenance comes directly from him. Thus, we must remain connected to him if we would have real life or bear fruit. Why focus on men? I've been serving the local church for almost 2.5 decades now. I didn't start off thinking my ministry would one day concentrate so much on men. I didn't sense the urgency or need back then. In fact, my aha moment didn't happen until my 6th year. I still remember the day the light bulb turned on for me, and I share a little bit about that experience in the last chapter of the book. Suffice it to say, I have been ministering to men ever since. My epiphany could best be summarized by the words I once heard pastor and writer Tony Evans preach. He said, "As the man goes, so goes the family. As the family goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes the community. As the community goes, so goes the city. As the city goes, so goes the state, nation, and finally the world." Men are not God's only plan for making disciples who will transform the world for Christ, yet they are an important part of his plan. What's the purpose of this book? This is not a how-to book. I love how-to books. I have many on my bookshelves, and I have read them with great profit. What I've observed, however, is many books written to help men live Christian lives lack the foundation to help them get there and flourish. Just as we would not build a skyscraper without first making sure the foundation could support it, neither should we call men to pursue godly lives without first giving them the only means of success. Jesus said, "We must abide in him, because apart from him, we can do nothing." Telling a man how to live a godly life without first sharing with him the divine resources for doing so is to set him up for failure. Part 1 of the book. There are 5 parts to this book. The first part focuses on the necessity of a changed heart. Before a man can live a godly life, something transformative and regenerative must first happen to him. He must become something he's not, a new creature in Christ. That can only happen by God's grace offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This section highlights the foundational components of becoming a new man in Christ. Part 2. This section emphasizes that our relationship with God does not end at our new birth, but begins there. God wants to develop the character of Christ in our lives. Therefore, we must continue growing in grace, keeping before us the goal of becoming more like our Lord Jesus Christ. parts 3 and 4. Godly men follow Christ as his disciples. They no longer live for themselves according to their own wisdom and agenda. Instead, godly men sit at the feet of their teacher and Lord and follow him wherever he leads. Christ calls each man to take his faith into every sphere of his life, at home, church, work, neighborhood, and community, city, culture, nation, and world. In each sphere, he is to bear witness to the King and make new disciples of his kingdom. Part 5. On their own, men cannot become who God created, redeemed, and called them to be. This last section stresses the need men have to grow in community as they study God's Word together. It's in this context men are encouraged and equipped to pass the baton of faith to new generations of godly men, young and old. Building up godly men works best in the local church, which is why the last chapter looks at the importance of intentionally focused ministry to men. The good and lasting fruit produced by such ministries will be more than worth the effort. How to use this book. The chapters that comprise this book were originally sermons or talks addressed to men's groups. I hope these same messages will now be read devotionally. This book can also serve as a helpful guide for men's small groups to read and discuss together. At the end of each chapter are a few questions for reflection and an action point or two. I call these walking points because Christians ought to do more than echo talking points. Men must also put our talk into action. The walking points at the end of each chapter are designed to help you reflect on the key idea of that chapter and turn it into an action item. May God be glorified as we pursue godly manhood together.